Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and everybody ought to praise the Lord. Good afternoon. This is your radio host of Lift High the Cross Radio Broadcast, Apostle W.D. Carter, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. And as I'm sure you are aware, there has been a change in this subject. The lesson will be contrasting the doctrine of salvation and the doctrine of sin. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis and the second chapter. We're going to begin at the seventh verse. Praise the Lord. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In that verse of scripture, we discover how man is created. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, that's our body, our physical body, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that's our spirit, and man became a living soul. Out of that combination, praise the Lord, of the dust of the ground and the breath of God into his nostrils, man became a living soul, a living personality. So you need to understand that man is tripartite in his form, in how he is formed. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. We are a trinity in unity. Let's go down to the 18th verse, or rather to the 15th verse, same chapter. Let's read it together. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Right there, praise the Lord, is the origin of work. So man is created in the image of God. He is formed by the dust of the earth. His nostrils are breathed into by the breath of God, and he becomes a living soul. Man is created and a full adult, praise the Lord. And then God takes him and puts him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So that is the origin of work. And the Lord God, verse 16, commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And so, praise the Lord, from that point, from the point of man, of God placing man in the Garden of Eden and giving him the command or giving him the assignment to dress it and keep it, then God gives of the man a command, which tells you, praise the Lord, that the man is placed under the ultimate authority of God. Yet, praise God, God also makes that same man and gives him his delegated authority. Okay, and the 15th verse, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So man is given a job, he's given an assignment, and then he's given a commandment. The command is that he may eat of every tree of the garden, he may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he will not eat of it, for in the day that he eats thereof, he will certainly die. And the Lord God, verse 18, said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." This is extremely important, because now we see God has created man, God has given man an assignment to work, and then God gives him a command, praise the Lord, and then God, as he is working, God decides and declares that it is not good for the man to be alone. So he says, "I will make him a help, suitable, adoptable, fit for him." It's very important that you understand that, praise the Lord, because that shows you that God does not want man to be alone. God says it is not good for the man to be alone, and so God decides that man must exist within the confines of community. Now look what it says in the 19th verse, praise the Lord. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. In that verse of scripture, you see that Adam has been made the federal or governmental head over the entire creation. However, praise God, he is the federal and governmental head over the entire creation from the Garden of Eden. Notice, praise the Lord, that God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, to see how Adam would identify them. And whatsoever Adam called them, called every living creature, whatsoever, however Adam identified them, okay, every living creature, that was the name, that was the identity thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to all and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. In other words, but for Adam, there was not found anybody that was corresponded to him. You have to understand that while Adam was categorizing all the animals, he noticed that there were males and females, that there were male animals, praise God, and that there were a female animal to correspond to that male animal. But for him, there was no one to correspond to him. Verse 21 says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. There you see right there that God performed an operation, praise the Lord, on the body, the physical body of Adam, and took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And so, praise God, this person that God made from man was designed to be correspondent, to be Adam's correspondent. And God, the Father, praise the Lord, brought the woman to the man. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go along in this study. Verse 23 says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. In those two verses, praise the Lord, you see that God the Father designs the woman, he makes the woman, and praise the Lord, he brings the woman to the man. And the man, Adam, okay, identifies her as his wife and says, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. That's what the word woman means, taken out of man. The word woman does not mean wombed man. It does not mean W-O-M-B-E-D, man. It means taken out of man. Woman, she is called woman because she was taken out of the man. Excuse me. And so, praise the Lord, we see that the man came out of God, therefore he is the man of God. Praise the Lord. And the woman came out of man, therefore she is the woman of man. Praise the Lord. In verse 24, you see, praise God, the beginning of the marriage covenant. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The man must leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In that statement, you have the unit of the family created. And so man is not to be alone. He is to exist within the confines of the community, and the first unit of community is family. Glory be to God. Look what it says here. Verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I want you to see that. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There was a reason why they were not ashamed. You need to understand, praise God, yes, they were naked, but they were naked within the effulgence of the brilliant light of God emanating from both their personas. And in effect, that was their clothing. I want you to see that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at chapter 3, praise God, of the same book, the book of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Let's look at that for a moment. I want you to see, praise the Lord, that the serpent, a creation of God, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, notice that the serpent said unto the woman, because the man knew the serpent, because the man had identified the serpent and categorized him. Praise God. The serpent said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Notice that the serpent puts a question to the woman about what God said. And the woman said unto the serpent, the woman spoke unto the serpent, praise the Lord, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Praise the Lord. And in essence, what the woman said to the serpent was correct, although she added the caveat of not touching the tree. Praise the Lord. And so what happens there is that there's a little change in the context, but she doesn't remove herself wholly from the answer. And you should know, praise God, that she said that God said this. Well, she said God said it because Adam had told her that God said it. So she got the direction concerning the tree directly from her husband. So her husband is operating in delegated authority under the ultimate authority of God. Praise the Lord. And in his delegated authority, he has authority over his wife. So what he told her from the position of being a leader, of being the leader over her life. And she said, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Note, verse 4 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. In that particular sentence, the serpent called God a liar. The serpent called called Adam a liar, praise the Lord, directly, but indirectly, he was calling God, who gave Adam the command not to eat of this tree, a liar. Hallelujah. And then the serpent begins to explain. He begins to expand upon the lie that he just told the woman. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. A very powerful statement, but a lie nonetheless. First of all, the serpent is intimating that God is holding something out on her. God, the enemy, you need to understand that the enemy is speaking directly to the woman. He's speaking to the woman. It's important that you understand that. And he expands on his lie. The first part of his lie is that ye shall not surely die. And then he says, God is holding something out on you. He knows that in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be open, and ye shall be as God. You shall be able to know good and evil. This is not, praise the Lord, what God intended for humanity. God never intended for humanity to be able to distinguish between good and evil in terms of making a decision of what's good and what's evil. That was not God's intent for humanity. And when the woman, verse 6, saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now notice what happens in this sixth verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, and so the woman began to look at the tree and began to reason within her own self about the tree. Instead of defaulting, praise God, to obeying the command that came, the command of God that came to her through her husband not to eat of the tree, she now looked, began to reason in her mind about the tree based on what some other spirit told her. You got to get that. You got to come to, you got to get a real clear understanding about that. In other words, the woman began to reason about this tree independent of the will of God for their lives. And when she saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And in addition, she also influenced her husband to eat of the tree with her, which tells you, praise the Lord, that Eve had an inordinate amount of influence over her husband. And so, praise God, the moment that that happened, praise God, then humanity's whole, how can I put it, praise the Lord, how we were formed was reconfigured. In other words, humanity was reconfigured, praise the Lord, after Adam ate of the fruit, and he did eat. Verse 7, and notice this, and the eyes of them were both open. Well, what eyes? Certainly not the eyes in front of their foreheads. No, the eyes of their awareness, because, praise God, prior to eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, praise the Lord, they were God-conscious, and they were God-centered. But it says, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. They became aware of themselves. They became self-conscious. And, praise God, once they ate of the tree, once they disobeyed the command not to eat of that tree, something happened to the clothing that they were equipped with, the effulgence of God's light emanating from their personas went out. Glory be to God. And they became aware that they were naked. And the first thing they did was they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, which means, praise the Lord, they tried to cover their own selves. In essence, what they did was try, praise the Lord, to cover their own nakedness from God. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So, praise God, that particular sentence tells you that there was a habitual fellowship between God and Adam and Eve. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. Isn't that extremely ironic, praise the Lord, because they rebelled against the command of God in the false notion that they were going to become like God, glory be to God, and once they rebelled against him, then they began to flee from his presence. Why did they begin to flee from his presence? Because, praise the Lord, they had a sense of the judgment of death that had just come upon them. Because the Lord had told Adam, praise God, in the Garden of Eden, you may eat of all the trees in the garden, But of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of that tree, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And that's exactly what happened. The moment, praise God, the second that they disobeyed the commandment of God and ate of the tree, praise the Lord, they lost their consciousness of God. Something happened to us. Praise the Lord. Human depravity entered us, and it disconnected us from God. That's what death is about. We are disconnected spiritually from God. I want you to get that. Praise the Lord. Prior to them eating of the tree, they would fellowship in the garden in the cool of the day. God would walk in the midst of them, and they would fellowship. And you know what? They could hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Even as he heard them, they could hear his voice. And they would talk to God, and God would talk to them. Glory be to God. But what happened, praise the Lord, in the day that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, something happened to them. Look at what the verse says. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. A terrible thing happened. Something terrible happened, praise the Lord, that provoked Adam and Eve to run from God. They ran from the presence of God. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Note that. The Lord God did not call unto Eve. The first one he called unto was Adam. Praise the Lord. And said unto him, where art thou? Indicating, praise the Lord, that from the point of them eating of the tree, they were lost. Glory be to God. And so it is not we who are looking for God. It is God who is looking for us. Even in the midst of the sin that we are in, God is looking for us. Praise the Lord. And many of you, praise God, have heard the voice of God calling you in the midst of your sinful lifestyle. Praise God. And I want you to understand, when God calls you, he's calling you out from amongst them. And many of you, praise the Lord, when you hear the gospel, the message of the gospel preached and taught unto you, praise God, you're hearing the voice of the Lord calling you out. Where are you? And he said, Adam speaking, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Why was he afraid of the presence of God? Hallelujah. The very God that he would walk in the garden with in the cool of the day. Why was he afraid of him? He was afraid of him because, praise the Lord, he knew the judgment, the sentence of death was upon him. And he said, the Lord speaking, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So notice, praise the Lord, that the heart of Adam is totally reconfigured. Now, praise God, he becomes an inveterate enemy of God. And what happens when, praise God, God calls him out for having disobeyed the commandment? He blames God. He does not repent. He does not apologize. He does not humble himself. Why? Why doesn't he do that? Because his whole person has been reconfigured. Praise God. In other words, human depravity has entered into him, and not only him, has entered into everybody that's in him at that point. I want you to understand that every person, praise God, on the planet was in the loins of Adam at the time that he committed his sin. And so, praise the Lord, when death passed upon him and his wife, death passed upon every person that was in his loins. And so that's why, praise God, we all became sinners in Adam. And every one of us, praise the Lord, who has not been born again, praise God, has has only been born one time of the flesh, we are walking in the Adamic nature, which is the nature of sin, and we are by nature's enemies of God. Hallelujah. And so, praise the Lord, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. In that sentence, praise the Lord, he blamed both the woman and God for his predicament, for him having disobeyed God's commandments. Are you understanding? And every one of us, praise God, who are operating in human depravity, that's what we do. We blame others and everybody else for our sins, for our crimes, for our mistakes. We are averse, praise the Lord, for taking responsibility for what we do. Glory be to God. We are averse for taking responsibility for what we do when we do something wrong. When we commit sin against God and against one another, we don't want to take responsibility for it. And so, praise the Lord, that's why we keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again, because we refuse to be responsible for our own actions. Why? Praise the Lord. Because we are under the Adamic nature of human depravity. Look at verse 12, same chapter 3, praise the Lord, verse 13 rather, and the Lord God said unto the woman. Now in verse 12, praise God, you find God, hallelujah, or verse 11, you find God calling Adam into responsibility for having disobeyed the commandment. I want you to know, praise the Lord, that God holds each and every one of us responsible for our own actions. And so in verse 12, 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Notice that she did the exact same thing that Adam did. She blamed the serpent for the choice that she made to disobey the commandment of God. Hallelujah. And so, praise the Lord, we see that the Adamic nature has now been twisted. And that's where we get human depravity. The nature of Adam, the nature of humanity was changed. Glory be to God, and twisted. Hallelujah. And reconfigured based on the disobedience of Adam. Hallelujah. The disobedience of Adam. Humanity's whole person was reconfigured. Our whole nature was reconfigured and cursed based on Adam's disobedience. And so, as Paul said, as by one man death passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned in Adam, and that's what necessitates, praise God, the new birth experience. We're going to continue teaching this, praise the Lord, as this series goes on. We're going to be contrasting the doctrine of salvation against the doctrine of sin, or the doctrine of homosexuality. Praise the Lord. I would request your prayers for myself and this broadcast. And I would also request that you share the broadcast on Facebook. If you see it on your timeline, share it on your timeline so that it can minister to everybody else on your timeline. I pray that the Lord bless you in perpetuity, and thank you for you indulging your time in listening to this message. In Jesus' name. Amen.